Well, Vice President Kamala Harris has settled on a running mate, and it will be Minnesota Governor Tim Walz. Not one of the more well-known names among the ones she was considering, but somebody whose record during COVID-19 in particular is one you should familiarize yourself with. Hi, folks. I'm Eric Bain with Reason Magazine. Thanks for joining us on this edition of American Radio Journal. My guest today is Robbie Suave. He's my colleague and a senior editor at Reason Magazine, and he's written a piece that definitely deserves your attention. Tim Walz was a COVID-19 tyrant is the headline. Robbie, thanks for taking some time with us here.
My pleasure.
I heard during the speech yesterday when Walz was kind of introducing himself to the American public after being named the running mate for Kamala Harris, he talked about, you know, he thought it was important that people should just leave each other alone. He was talking about abortion specifically, but that line really caught my ear because I'm aware of at least some of what went on in Minnesota during the pandemic. You've run through this in terrific detail in this piece, but let's start with maybe not the most serious offense here, but probably the funniest and most interesting one, which is like the governor was encouraging people to kind of spy on and rat out their neighbors during the pandemic.
Yeah, so much for leaving everybody alone. That was a marvelous sentiment that he expressed, if only he had governed in that way. He Minnesota under Tim Walz's leadership, you know, had most of the same, I would argue, bad, heavy-handed COVID policies of other blue states, with a couple of key, you know, icing on the cake sort of things or bad icing. Most notably, this hotline that you could call to report your neighbors early on in the pandemic for violating the social distancing guidance. I say guidance in scare quotes because it's really guidance. If somebody's going to call the police on you, your neighbors, for violating it. And everyone, Republicans, were like, this is not necessary. Can you please get rid of this? And he said, no, because it's for safety, blah, blah, blah. You know, the kind of things we heard from a lot of people, but yeah, doesn't strike me as neighborly. He made some line recently about how Republicans will call everything, including neighborliness. They'll say it's socialism. And I'm like, well, under hardcore socialism, that's when you spy on your neighbors and report them for disloyalty to the political, to the state policy. It's kind of like what you had going on during COVID.
Yeah, he knows of what he speaks. As you said, a lot of stuff that was similar in substance to what other blue states in particular, but other states across the board did too. But, you know, bad icing, if you will, on the top, or, a rotten cherry on top. One of the other things in here that you highlight in your piece is that fines of up to $1,000, potentially 90 days in jail for people who violated the social distancing requirements, which seems really heavy handed to me.
I know. And this whole chapter of our lives was so traumatic. I think we tried to put it behind us. It's crazy now to think that we actually went through that. But yes, him, like many others, threatened, at least on paper, said, I have the power to do this. You know, I really don't want to arrest people, blah, blah, blah. But I have the power to compel you to remain in your homes and to jail you if you violate this kind of thing. You got the same sort of incoherent masking rules where it's like, you got to wear a mask in these public indoor and outdoor stuff for some of its spaces. You have to wear a mask when you enter a restaurant. The restaurant's open eventually. You got to wear a mask while you walk to your table and then you can take it off. That kind of stuff that, you know, made absolutely no sense. It was pretty popular everywhere. Bringing back those kind of mandates when cases increased under the logic that ultimately proved to be at least somewhat faulty, that we could somehow manage the spread of this. You know, even this is at a point where, you know, vaccines are available to people who want to protect themselves. We're still trying to claw back cases with this mixture of heavy-handed mitigation efforts that at this point, most health officials, including Dr. Fauci, have admitted were kind of invented on the spot and didn't really grapple with the disease very well.
Yeah, they didn't make a lot of sense at the time either. And the timeline here, like you said, it's muddled, I think, in everyone's memory because we just kind of want to forget about it and it all kind of runs together. But in Minnesota, they kept a lot of those indoor and outdoor restrictions on capacity and dining and things like that all the way well into the spring of 2021, like a full year after the pandemic started, well after vaccines were available and well after other states were starting to pull it back. We're talking with Robbie Suave. He is a senior editor at Reason Magazine, a colleague of mine. He's written a great piece at Reason.com this week. Tim Walz was a COVID-19 tyrant. That really spells it out pretty clearly, Robbie. But before I let you go, last minute or so here, I want to focus on one other aspect of this, which is, and this is, again, in line with some of the other governors who really got very poor marks for their handling of the pandemic, like Andrew Cuomo in New York, but the handling of nursing homes in Minnesota, also kind of another black mark on Walz's record.
Yes, very much so. You know, this was the policy of having people who had been hospitalized, sick people, older people hospitalized for COVID, and then once they were stable, but still positive for COVID, still contagious, saying, you know, we need the space in the hospital, which I understand hospitals were stressed at various stages, but they said, we're going to send them back to the nursing homes. That ended up being a lethal policy because the people in the nursing home are the most vulnerable to people COVID there are. You know, we did dramatic things in terms of shutting down the entire economy, forcing, you know, wrestling masks onto children, keeping their schools closed. But we didn't do the thing that would have been the most obvious, which is keeping sick people out of nursing homes. That's the actual vulnerable population. This happened in New York. It ended Andrew Cuomo's career because he tried to cover it up and lied about it in his book in order to sell more books. They had the same policy in many other states, including in Minnesota. And what I was struck by was an old article of Tim Walz being asked about this policy and saying it was not a mistake to do that. Again, he's not alone in solely doing this kind of thing, but at least you should admit it's a mistake. Everyone, I think even the Fauci-esque health officials agree that it was a mistake now to put sick people in with healthy but very vulnerable older people. This was the at-risk population. We should have done dramatic things to keep them safe and maybe ease up on some of the other stuff.
Yeah, there were other options. And also the fact that other people made the same mistake doesn't absolve Tim Walz or any of these governors from making these mistakes. This record does matter. It calls into question the judgment. And I think, you know, we don't have time to get into it here, but I think this is something that obviously will be a big part of the campaign as we go forward. Robbie, thanks for taking some time and joining us.
Anytime.
And again, that is Robbie Suave. He's a senior editor for Reason Magazine, a colleague of mine. Check out his piece on Tim Walz at Reason.com this week. And while you're there, you can also sign up for Free Media. That's his new weekly newsletter. He writes about free speech, social media, politics, and just sort of keeping track of who's getting what wrong on the internet right now. All of that, of course, at Reason.com. I'm Eric Boehm. Catch me right back here next week on another edition of American Radio Journal.